Shows of every kind invite the crowd. Shows that make us grip our seats with excitement.
A sample of the marvelous freaks you'll see for the price of a small bin burn.
Internet Freak Show.
Welcome back to Internet Freak Show. Today, we're going to talk about the story of Bianca Devins, a young woman who had put too much trust into a man she had met online. And we're going to be talking about that man who used a murder to elevate his social media clout. We'll go over the roles that technology played in this crime and the distribution of the horrific photos taken at the crime scene, how always looking for more internet influence can sometimes lead to bad decisions, and how the internet was used to stalk and ultimately murder a young Instagram influencer. But if we dig a little deeper into this internet freak show, I think we'll find that the story is about how, sometimes, the good of the internet can overpower the bad. But let's start at the beginning. Bianca Devins was a fairly typical 17-year-old. She had recently graduated high school, and she was very active on several social media sites and services, namely Instagram, where she had amassed a small following of about 2,000 people. Through Instagram, she came to know one of her followers. His name was Brandon Clark, and he was a few years older than Bianca. He was 21, and she was 17. Brandon came from a difficult and complicated background. His home life was sometimes abusive and dangerous. He was placed into foster care at age 10, following an incident where his father held his mother at knife point. Still, Brandon and Bianca became friends and ended up meeting in real life. Despite his unstable upbringing, most reports of people who met Brandon describe him as polite and charming. However, something was brewing just under the surface for Brandon. He obsessed over Bianca. He constantly visited her social media accounts, he saved her photos, and he continued to contact her via email and all the social media accounts she had, much to her annoyance. Their relationship was certainly pretty complicated. Brandon obviously wanted more from his relationship with Bianca, but she seemed to keep him at arm's length. While he sometimes referred to himself as her boyfriend, she would correct him that they were just friends. While Bianca never reported any abuse in their relationship, there is some evidence to believe that Brandon pressured her sexually, sometimes while they were doing drugs together. It's unclear as to whether or not they were intimate or whether or not she really considered him her boyfriend. This angst and anger in trying and failing to pursue a deeper relationship frustrated Brandon. He was a member of several online communities dedicated to being a, quote, incel, which is short for involuntary celibate. Now, incels are a relatively new internet phenomenon, and on its surface, it seems harmless enough, right? These are just men who want girlfriends but can't get them. But if you dig a little deeper into these communities, you'll see that they are often overrun with misogyny, anger, resentment, and endorsements of violence. Incels are too big of a topic to dive too deep within this episode of this podcast. They're probably actually a big enough topic to do a full other episode of Internet Freak Show on, really. But for the purposes of this podcast, all you really need to know is that they are an extremist group in the U.S., whose writing and online communities have been described as a domestic terror threat. Involuntary celibate is really too friendly a term for these guys. These are not nice guys just trying to find a girlfriend, as the name would imply. Bianca herself had been a victim of incels' online antics for a couple years before her ultimate murder. But back to Bianca. Like Brandon, she had a complicated past. She suffered from several mental health disorders like anxiety, depression, borderline personality disorder, and more. She had graduated high school and was pursuing psychology at a local community college at the time of her death. She was trying to turn her trauma and her understanding of mental health issues into something good for her community. On July 14th, 2019, Brandon and Bianca made the trip from Utica to New York City to see a concert. They did the things that young people do at concerts. They met some friends, they enjoyed a little weed, they overall had a pretty good time. At the show, Bianca met a friend there, a guy named Alex, and they started kissing. Brandon saw this take place and was not happy about it. After the show, Brandon and Bianca got back into their car and made their way home. Bianca fell asleep in the back seat. and Brandon pulled off the road into a deserted, dead-end street. He went into the back seat and woke Bianca up, confronting her about the kiss. Bianca reiterated that not only were she and Brandon not monogamous, they weren't really a couple at all. This got Brandon very angry. He grabbed a large knife that he had hidden in the back seat and killed her violently and ruthlessly. After killing her, he started calling all of Bianca's friends and family in a manner similar to a suicide note, confessing what he had done. He then started taking pictures of Bianca's dead body and spreading these pictures through a chat platform called Discord. After posting the photos, many people, including Brandon himself, called law enforcement about the crime. By the time the police showed up, Bianca was dead and nearly decapitated. Brandon had spray-painted a suicide note. As the police showed up after the scene, Brandon took the knife and shoved it into his own neck. This attempt at suicide failed, however. The images that Brandon posted on Discord took on a life of their own on the internet. The users of that service started spreading them around to more mainstream services like Instagram and Facebook. The users even, quite cruelly, sent the images to Bianca's family. To their credit, Discord, Facebook, and Instagram acted quickly to censor the images, remove the offending accounts and servers, and added the images to a digital fingerprint library to prevent their further spread. Unfortunately, other services did not act so responsibly. 4chan celebrated the pictures, excited for yet another 4chan murder to be made public. Incel message boards also cheered on Brandon's actions. People used the murder and the photos to further their own influencer ambitions, offering to share the photos for likes or follows. Some users even started fundraisers, where the photos would be released at certain thresholds. So, that is a dark and disturbing phase of this story, I understand. And while I stand by the point that the internet can be used for good purposes and for good people, it's hard to make that argument in the wake of Bianca's death. This showed the worst side of the internet. Social media used to bully the family of a girl who was just brutally murdered, using painful images of death to make money or gain internet followers, spreading lies about Bianca, posing nude for drug money, and more. It was very sad and very disturbing, but let's not end this internet freak show on a note like this. While the internet communities that Brandon and Bianca frequented did not act responsibly in the wake of her death, in the year that followed, I think the internet has worked to resolve this. The hashtag, #RIPBianca, had previously been used to spread lies and the photos of her death, but it was hijacked by much kinder internet users who instead used the hashtag to spread their condolences, positive stories, and artwork inspired by her Instagram photos. As new hashtags popped up to spread the photos taken of her death, internet users fought back to flood those hashtags with positive images and messages instead, as the social media companies worked to quickly remove the photos and the posts. The internet was also used to set up a scholarship in Bianca's name. It was used to set up and attend candlelight vigils for her and more. Brandon had emergency surgery for his self-inflicted knife wound to his neck, and he was promptly taken into custody. He initially pled not guilty to second-degree murder. Then he confessed, and then he tried to retract his confession and his guilty plea. The whole case is long and involved and really depended on whether or not people considered this crime premeditated or a crime of passion. He had brought along the knife, some rope, and other elements that lead people to believe that he had planned to do this. But his mother says that he brought those along for his own suicide, not to kill anybody else. I'll let the courts figure out how true that is. And actually, the reason that this episode is late is I was waiting for Brandon's sentencing hearing, which was scheduled for November 10th. However, that was delayed, so I'm still not sure what his sentence will ultimately be. But for the time being, the internet and the real-life community is safe from Brandon's influence. However, the communities that encouraged and celebrated the murders are still around. I've brought this up on other episodes of Internet Freak Show, but I think it is pretty telling of our current place on the internet when terrible crimes are committed for internet points. Likes, follows, upvotes, or whatever your social media terminology uses, they become important currency for some users. These fake internet points become more important than money, time, other hobbies and interests, and for some, the fake points are more important than their own lives or the lives of others. social media companies struggle to allow people freedom of expression without censorship. But users exploit this with these cat and mouse games, trying to cash in before the large companies can properly suppress harmful content. Some use social media to spread good. Some use it to encourage and exploit death. Social media companies develop algorithms to discover your interests, get you to join groups of like-minded individuals, but without regard to the fact that some of these groups are toxic and harmful to the public. Maybe without social media and these algorithms, Bianca would still be alive, and incels would have one fewer victim. Thank you for listening to this episode of Internet Freak Show. After using this entire episode to talk about the dangers and the dark sides of social media, I'd like to plug Internet Freak Show's internet presence on Instagram at Internet Freak Show. I post photos there from these stories that I tell, including a picture of Bianca recently, if you want to see what she looks like. Also, check out the website, which has photos and text transcripts of all of our episodes at internetfreakshow.com. Thanks again for listening. Please leave a review on whatever service that you're using to listen to podcasts. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, stay freaky. Geek Nerdery.